Well, joining me now here in the Allstate Skyline studio is Democratic State Representative Emmanuel Chris Welch, Democrat from Hillside. Representative, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
Oh, my pleasure, Rick. Good morning, and nice outfit. We almost were twins.
Well, I've got my Cubs wear, but you have the purple of Northwestern and a big victory against the Fighting Illini yesterday.
Absolutely.
A little closer than I think it should have been.
They just wanted to make the rest of the state feel, you know.
Oh, that was a unity move.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. But
it's a big week ahead, though.
Absolutely.
Ohio State is the real deal.
Well, they kind of had an exclamation point on their game against Michigan yesterday.
But they're going to be upset on Saturday.
You mean personally upset? You mean there's going to be an upset?
There's going to be a big upset. I'm calling it right now.
Okay.
You heard it here first.
Final score?
Northwestern wins.
What's the score?
24-23.
All right. You heard it here first. And we've got this now on tape, by the way, so we'll play it back next Sunday to see how accurate you were. I wanted to have the representative on the show because, and this stems from something from a couple of weeks ago when the Illinois Association of School Boards was holding its annual meetings here in Chicago, and there was a move by some members of the association to get a resolution approved that would allow the arming of school teachers and other school personnel as their method of trying to keep students safe. And it lost the resolution by about 30 votes. But still, that seemed to be a pretty close vote. But I was even more surprised that this has been an ongoing effort by some largely downstate school board members proposing this. And this was the third year in a row where this resolution had come up.
Yeah, you know, the vote was way too close for comfort. This is a vote we're talking about on Illinois Association of School Board Resolution Number 2. At about this time last week, and it is the third year in a row that this resolution has been voted on, and I think it was too close for comfort because, you know, they're kind of they've been quietly doing this kind of under the cover of darkness, and you know, we came out last week and we shined a light on this thing. We wanted to make sure people knew what was going on and that school board members were aware that we were watching and paying close attention to this. This is an issue that's really been being pushed at the national level by Donald Trump and the NRA in light of recent school shootings. They would love to put more guns in our classrooms, in our schools. But that's not the answer. We all know that more guns is not the answer to a gun problem. You know, in our schools, instead of putting guns in our schools, we need to put books in our schools. You know, and that was the cry that you heard last week from parents and teachers and school board members. They want books, not bullets, in their schools.
Well, and again, we part of this regional divide that we have in Illinois. As I said, this was largely a move pushed by downstate school board members.
Correct.
They say they have a different culture of guns than people up here do, and that their districts are more rural, and that it would take longer for law enforcement to arrive at a school than it would necessarily in an urban or suburban atmosphere.
You know, I heard those arguments, and I still can't get past that. I do believe this is very political and partisan in nature. You know, downstate Illinois is very different than this part of the state. And if you look at the numbers, they support Donald Trump in a very big way. And so when Donald Trump uses his pulpit to say he wants to put guns in our schools, it catches fire in places like downstate Illinois. The NRA is a big contributor to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump is a big supporter of theirs. And so I think they're using these school board members in Southern Illinois to try to make this issue bubble up. I think they're going to continue to do that. And so we need to stay vigilant and continue to shine a light on it because guns in schools is not the answer. We really need to focus more on things like mental health services if we're going to really be smart about this. We need to focus on wraparound services and giving schools more counselors and not putting more police officers in schools. Things that I think that, if you focus on that now, it's kind of like an investment. If you're investing in it on the front end, it's going to pay off on the back end.
But we've had so many financial struggles in this state. I mean, now, granted, we just approved a historic school state aid funding measure, which includes a commitment of $350 million new each year for schools. The question becomes, there's some people say, well, that's aimed at helping poorer schools, and we can alleviate some of the property tax burden on homeowners that way through this gradual increase. But others want, the additional resources for additional services.
I hear that resource argument all the time, and when I think about putting guns in schools, what that would cost, those schools would have to pay a ton of money in insurance premiums cover the cost of liability of all those folks that could possibly be carrying a gun in their schools. I got to believe that it would be cheaper and more cost efficient to pay for more books in the classrooms or pay for more counselors in the schools than it would be to pay for liability insurance for school personnel to carry a gun. The question is where do you want to place your priorities? Do you want to spend the money on insurance and help big corporations make more money, or do you want to invest in children and put the money in classrooms?
We're speaking with Democratic State Representative Chris Welch from Hillside. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. @8:21 on this Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson. This is your Sunday Spin. Joining me here in the Allstate Skyline studio is Democratic State Representative Chris Welch from Hillside. We're talking about the move by the some members, downstate school board members in the Illinois Association of School Boards, to try to authorize the use of arming teachers in the classrooms, which was defeated by a narrow vote, but something that has been proposed over the last 3 years. And I guess we should point out, it would still require a change in state law.
It still would require a change in state law. Current state law, the 2013 Illinois carry law, specifically prohibited schools on guns on school property. Also, the federal Gun-Free School Zones Act of 1990, which was championed by Senator Joe Biden at the time, still prohibits guns in school zones. So understand what this is all about. This is about an organization that is a very powerful lobby in Springfield. If they were able to get the Illinois Association of School Boards, the organization behind this, this could pick up some steam to change the law in Illinois. And so what we were trying to do is to cut this off at the head. And I gotta really give a shout out and thanks to Moms Demand Action and the We Will organization and all the folks that came out last weekend in the cold and the snow to speak up about this. Congressman Quigley joined us.
And you said that I believe that you have a resolution in the House to kind of address this issue as well.
House Resolution 1303 specifically speaks to this issue. It's asking my colleagues in the Illinois General Assembly to join me in stating their loud opposition to putting guns in our schools and arming our teachers. And what we want to do is, send a message to the Illinois Association of School Boards, because I think this issue is going to keep bubbling up. I think that the folks in Southern Illinois are going to keep presenting this issue like they have the last 3 years. And what we want them to know and have their association tell them is this isn't going anywhere.
I want to switch gears just a little bit. I talked to Republican State Representative Tim Butler earlier this morning about we're resuming the veto session this week, and just about the atmosphere in Springfield. A large number of Governor Rauner's vetoes were overridden in one chamber or the other in the first week of the veto session. Now it's they move to the other chamber. But I just about the atmosphere down there and whether you detect, and I asked Tim, he's a Republican, but whether you detect whether, in essence, Republicans seem more like free agents right now because we do have the fact that Governor Rauner is in lame duck status until J.B. Pritzker takes over on January 14th.
Well, in the first week of veto session, I found the atmosphere to be very positive myself, and I'm looking forward to heading back down this week because I think that we have more work to do. But, you know, I got to tell you, I think that Governor Pritzker is going to do a remarkable job, and I think the Republicans are going to find themselves enjoying working with J.B. Pritzker. I think if you look at the transition committees that he's been rolling out, they have been bipartisan. He has been not just talking the talk, he's walking the walk, and including a number of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle in on these important committees. And that's because he knows that the way forward is working together. And Tim Butler, Representative Butler from Springfield, is a good friend of mine. He's a diehard Cubs fan like you and I. You know, we've sat in those seats at Wrigley, and, you know, we've talked policy. We're going to continue to do that. And that's the only way to do it, is to do it with both parties at the table. I think Governor Pritzker is going to lead the way on that.
But do you sense with these veto overrides now at this stage we're at, of whether this is kind of a throwing the yoke off by some of the Republicans after the control that Governor Pritzker had?
Absolutely. I think they're very relieved, you know, because what I saw last week was, you know, over 36 bills were overwritten, and those were bills that were sponsored by both Democrats and Republicans, and they were overwritten in large margins, and people were like, we're free. You know, let's vote our conscience and do the right thing. You know, when the governor first came in the office, you know, he was intimidating and, you know, for lack of a better term, a bully. You know, I think people are going to actually be able to, you know, feel free and vote their conscience, vote their districts, and not be afraid to reach across the aisle and be seen working with a person of the opposite party.
Let's flash forward to January, and obviously the Democratic majority in the Illinois House has gotten bigger. I believe it's now 74 to 44.
74-44. I think that's the largest since 1964.
Which would be what happened then, the bedsheet ballot.
Well,
I'll be happy to tell you all about it.
You know, I'm a little bit more optimistic about the things that are going to happen under this supermajority.
Well, but again, I mean, and you've been in a supermajority before, but it just sometimes that also creates free agents as well.
Well, I think it gives people a little bit more freedom to, you know, vote or not vote on some of these issues that may cause them problems in their districts. I think we'll probably see a lot more structured roll calls, you know, and that's what we call them in Springfield, where you know people in their districts would have a tough time voting for a specific issue. So you have some freedom to let a couple people, you know, vote present or vote no on tough issues.
But when you do need that supermajority, such as in the case of a graduated rate income tax to go on the ballot as a constitutional amendment, you need 71 votes. There isn't a whole lot of leeway there, and that's a difficult issue.
A lot more leeway than we had before.
True. You know,
we had a supermajority on paper.
Right.
We were right at 71, and three or four of those guys were tough to get on a lot of these issues. And so I feel a lot better being at 74 with our chances, and I'm looking forward to taking on a lot of these important issues that we have to address, and I'm hoping the progressive tax is one of the very first things. I know Governor-elect Pritzker and the Speaker have already said that it's something that's important to them. I'm looking forward to voting for it.
Should we know what the rates are before we put a constitutional amendment on the ballot?
Well, I think
if you understand, just, you know, one of the hits at Pritzker was that he wouldn't reveal income rates, understood where he's coming from there, saying it had to be negotiated with the legislature, but still to put a blind kind of constitutional amendment out there without perhaps knowing the substantive numbers behind it.
We have to understand that was a campaign, that was political rhetoric, And if Governor-elect Pritzker had put a raid out there, people would have criticized him for not working together with everyone. Where did he get these rates from? These are things that the legislative body has to be a part of that process, and that includes all members, Democrats and Republicans. And this is something that the executive branch and the legislative branch would have to negotiate. And I got to imagine that's going to be done with both parties sitting at the table and having input on that. But there's a process that has to go forth. First, we have to put this on a ballot, see if this is what the people of the state want. If that passes, then we sit down and negotiate what those rates will be. And let's go through that process. We know we need more revenue. This is a great way to go at it. And I definitely think that this is a state that has several millionaires and billionaires who can pay their fair share in taxes.
That's Democratic State Representative Chris Welch from Hillside. Representative, thanks so much for getting up this morning and joining me here in the Skyline studio.
Oh, my pleasure. I enjoyed the new view.
Anytime.